This morning message for the church gathered at the Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church is Knowing God, Part 3.
All right.
The God of Sufficient Grace. One of the most difficult things for most Christians to deal with as children of God is to deal with times of crisis. Those urgent times when we are deeply hurt, terrifyingly afraid, totally confused, or desperately alone. Those times when doubt creeps into our minds and we begin to wonder what God is doing and why He's allowing for us to experience this trouble. Though in times of crisis our faith holds us and keeps us, it's often hard to reconcile within our hearts and our minds these moments when God's promises don't seem to be in effect.
All right.
I don't know of anyone who wants to experience a crisis. Though we know that trouble is always present among us,
amen,
no one wants to go through it. But the reverse is true. We do our best to avoid any type of crisis and to structure our lives so that we will not have to experience the life-exhausting occurrence of these predicaments. We constantly thank God for taking us through troubles seen and unseen. We are continually praising God that we had a trouble-free day. And we will do all we can to prevent a crisis from finding its way into our lives. But a fact of life and the truth of the matter is that there will come a time in all of our lives when we will encounter some crisis. By crisis, I mean some life-threatening or life-diminishing event that can change our lives for the worse. By crisis, I mean a sudden and unwelcome event that catches us by surprise and robs us of our peace and or our possessions. By crisis, I mean a long and lingering problem that prevents us from moving forward with our lives, leaving us in a state of emptiness. Crisis fills our hearts with a dark and gloomy sadness that steals from those who go through crisis joyful expressions of love and laughter and rob us from our futures. I've been on this earth for 68 long years and counting, and never have I met a person who looked forward to being in a crisis. But today, I want to refute the claims of prosperity preachers and to try and give you another perspective on those times of dread and woe. And if you would lend me your ears and open your hearts for just a moment, I will try to help you navigate your way through those painful and fearful times with an overcoming faith that God greatly rewards. Let me start by debunking the myth that we've heard all of our lives. I've said it, you've said it, but it is not necessarily true. I've heard it said that God will not put more on you than you can bear. Have you heard that before? I've heard that all of my Christian life and assumed that it was in the Bible. But at least if it wasn't in the Bible, I thought the idea was a biblical idea. But it's not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul lets us know how the pressure of his life was so difficult to bear that he was unable to bear it. Listen to what he says. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. so that we despair even to life. Did you hear that? We see here Paul, see here that Paul was in a terrible situation. He had done nothing to cause his problem. As a matter of fact, he was in this place, this difficult, hard, and trying, and oppressed place, because he was serving God. But while there, the pressures became too great for them to bear. He says, far beyond our ability to endure. No doubt he tried to strategize or even negotiate his way out of this dilemma, but he just could not do it. No doubt he prayed diligently to God and petitioned God for direction, but the pressure continued to rest upon him. There was nothing he said, nothing he did, relieved him from the pressure of this moment. And my family who's gathered here today, to our discomfort, God at times leads us into situations beyond our ability to bear. Why? For it is in those moments, these difficult times, that God wants us to know something very important about Him. Something that we can only learn through the trial of our faith. Something that we can only learn about God when we have gone beyond our abilities to do any good. What Paul did learn in this text, we see it in verse 12. He says, I delight in weaknesses, insults, and in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. Here it is. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God sometimes overwhelms us with the challenges of our lives because He wants us to know that all of our help comes from the Lord. That if you're going to live a successful Christian life, if you're going to be effective in your Christian walk, I need you to know that I can do all things through Christ and that I am your source of strength and your power for deliverance. What Paul learned is that in his human weakness, God gives supernatural strength to uphold us when all of our strength is gone. And those times when we are unable to bear our burdens, Christ bears our burdens for us and with us. Jesus bears our burden, and He bears witness to what Paul learned from God in his crisis. We find it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you can find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What this means, my sister and my brother, is that when we yoke up with Christ, or when we live our lives in sequence or in relationship with Christ, that we learn three things about God. One, we learn that God is gentle and humble in heart toward His children. Two, we learn that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, which means that when we live in relationship with Christ, our burdens, our trials, those moments or seasons of crisis and trouble becomes easier for us to handle because Christ is bearing our burdens. And the third thing that Jesus wants us to know is that only when we yoke up with Christ, only when we live our lives in relationship to Jesus Christ, only then will we be able to find rest for our souls. Praise His holy name. Why is this? Because Christ is bearing the weight of our burdens. Why is this? Because as we are in relationship with God or with Christ, we are learning how to deal with our problems as Christ the man dealt with his. Because Christ is bearing the weight of our burden, or in other words, when our lives are lived in relationship with God, we won't become discouraged when trouble is in our lives. We won't feel in times of trouble as if God has abandoned us. We will have an overwhelming sense of peace, calmness, and assurance, even in uncertain and turbulent times, because we have learned to live with the Almighty. Now, this does not negate the fact or the reality of crisis. Crisis is real. All of us got troubles. But what we learn about God in crisis is that if God is with us, we can get through anything. Hallelujah. And you can only learn that about God when you faithfully walk with God through crisis. No, God at times does put more on us than we can bear, so that we might learn to trust him and know that he is a God who faithfully cares. The next thing that God wants us to know about him in crisis is that God uses trouble to redirect our focus back to him. Are you listening? The natural tendency of every one of us as human beings, even those of us who are saved, is that when things are going well, we tend to slack up in our relationship with God. And oftentimes we begin trusting something or someone else other than God. We maybe even think that we can trust ourselves more than God, because things are going so well with us. And because things are going well with us, I must be all right. Say amen, somebody. God wants us to know how serious he is about being in relationship with us. God loves us with an everlasting love. God's love is continual and refreshing. Morning by morning, he allows for the mercies of his love to touch our lives. God is in love with us more than we are in love with him. And he wants us to know that God is a jealous God. We as Christians know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And when we, after having received the blessings of God and have enjoyed the goodness of God, oftentimes we began to drift away. And what does he do when this begins to happen? Because of his love, because of the joy he gets out of being in relationship, and the anxiety and the angst he sees when we start drifting away from him, he wakens our hearts by disturbing our peace.
We got a small problem.
In essence, he's saying, let's see how far.
Because I like, go to the audio source.
Without me. He disturbs our peace.
You gotta be all
and God Black Magic. Disturbs our peace to awaken our hearts to the fact that we really do need God. As a matter of fact, we need God more than anything that this life can afford. And that we can't make it in this world without him. But more importantly,
God does this because of his unquenchable love for us. His desire and his joy, like a mother seeing her baby morning after morning, and her heart is delighted by the joy her baby gives to her. So is God toward us when he sees us and he awakens us and we say, good morning, God. We praise you for the coming of this day. God delights in our fellowship of love. When we become slack in our relationship with God, the first thing he does is that he whispers softly into our spirits to remind us how much he cherishes our times together. And if we fail to respond to his gentle whisperings of love, then he begins to speak to us tangibly, audibly, where we can hear him. And how does he do this, Reverend? He does it through song of worship and sermons of instructions or personal experiences or testimonies of friends who are Christian and who walk in faith or remembrance of what mama and daddy told you, and those things come back to recapture our attention and bring us back into the presence of God. Yes, God speaks audibly to us through his people and through his creation. When we fail to respond to God, when he speaks to us audibly, through sermons, songs, or personal experiences, then he shouts. And nobody wants to be the direction when God shouts at us. For when God shouts to us, he's letting us know that things, he let us know rather by taking away from us the things that he has had in place to protect and keep us. He begins to shout at us by removing some of those things that we have cherished in our lives that he has given to us. And he's doing all of this to let us know that our relationship with God is dwindling. And as long as we continue to walk away, the more difficult our challenges will come, and the more we will feel as if we have been abandoned by God. And what that ought to do for every born again child of God is to run them back into the arms of God and repent and say, God, I need you. Every hour, I need you. This is what trouble and crisis can teach us about God. But yet another thing that God wants us to learn about him in crisis is that his grace is sufficient. Paul testifies to the church at Corinth of his blessed experience of being carried into the third of heaven. He was feeling like a big Negro because he had gotten to a place where no man has ever been. And he saw things that humans were not allowed to speak about. So to keep him humble, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Or to be more precise, God allowed for Satan to buffet his body. God allowed for Satan to afflict him, to disable him with a physical sickness or a physical disorder that so restricted his life that he felt like he could no longer effectively serve. So he appeals to God on three occasions. God, this is me. This is your boy, Paul. The one you took up into the third heavens and allowed for him to see the glories of God that no man has ever seen. God, I know you hadn't forgot about me. And on three occasions, Paul appealed to God. And on the third occasion, God let Paul know that I have given Satan permission to afflict you. So what's happening here? What's happening to Paul is, according to my will, this ain't something that is caused by nature, and this is not an accident. Paul, I told Satan, my adversary, I gave him permission, like I gave him permission to afflict Job, to afflict you with a difficulty that would cause you to remember who you are, and that you are still my servant, and that you are humble, and you can only do my work if you trust in me. So Paul, quit your complaining. Quit thinking that you're better than most. Don't think that you are unable to do what I've called you to do. Because Paul, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is very important for us to know about God, that though the physical challenges of our bodies may try to prevent us from fulfilling God's will, that God gives us power, that even in our weakness, so much power that we can have strength. For God's grace is sufficient. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I don't like to talk much about what I personally go through, but since Paul shared his story, maybe I can share my story. Paul shared his story for the benefit of the church at Corinth, and I'll share my story for the benefit of those who are gathered at the Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church. My story is not as dramatic as Paul, but yet it is my story. I've been struggling with an illness for over 8 years. It has drastically limited me physically. Even now, as I preach, I feel weary and I feel tired. I'm physically limited. Because of this, I've given up a lot of my responsibilities in the community and the work I've done with religious organizations, and focused my concentration solely on Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church. Praise his holy name. I've questioned God about my responsibilities as continuing as pastor in this church. And one thing I've discovered as I go from day to day, that every Sunday when I stand before this pulpit, every Sunday I prepare to stand before you to bring a word from the Lord, that no matter how bad I might feel when I rise on Sunday morning, God gives me the assurance that I'm with you. And I've discovered in my trial and tribulation that when it comes to this preaching moment, that God gives sufficient grace, amazing grace. Any all right? There are times when I'm so tired that I don't think I can make it, and there are times when I forget to take my medicine, and my wife and I know how my body reacts when I don't stay on schedule. But whenever, praise his holy name, whenever I make my way behind this sacred desk to speak a word for the Lord, even without realizing it, and forget about my tiredness, that God gives sufficient grace. Yeah, sufficient grace is enough power to do whatever God has called you to do. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Do you know him? Yeah. God may not heal your body. He may not move your mountain. He may not answer your prayer like you want him to. But in your time of crisis, if you're faithful, you will come to know the glorious and wonderful experience of receiving the sufficient grace of God. Ain't he all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You may be young and feel like you don't know enough to serve the Lord, but if the Lord has saved you and if the Lord has called you, you need to know that the God you serve is the God of sufficient grace. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. I see you. You're getting older now and realize that things ain't like they used to be. But if God has saved you and if God has called you, you need to know that you serve a God who is the God of sufficient grace. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Well, you may feel that you're too busy. You're busier now than you've ever been before. You're so busy that you don't have enough time in the day, and you don't have time to serve the Lord. And if God has called you, and if God has saved you, you need to know that the God you serve is a God of sufficient grace. Ain't he all right? Yeah. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Yeah. The devil is a liar. We will live and not die. The devil is a liar. It's not okay to stay home refusing to come to God's house after God has been so good to you. Just because it's convenient to watch online. But if God has saved you and if God has called you, you need to know that you serve a God of sufficient grace. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Is there anybody here who wants to thank God for sufficient grace? His grace has brought me. His grace has taught me. His grace has delivered me. Come on, somebody, anybody, thank God for sufficient grace. Say yeah. Of sufficient grace. Grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on.